EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs that are?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Everyone, and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all doing okay. I'm your host, Nick Hunter, and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We are starting off tonight with Julianne in Michigan sharing her experiences on her journey down the spiritual path. Then continuing our journey, we speak with Pat in New York about an overwhelming and oppressive feeling of being watched by some sort of entity that would wake him up at 3 a.m. Julianne is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Julianne. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You are more than welcome. It's great to have you today, and you're calling from Detroit, Michigan.
I am.
Now, Julianne, you have experiences to share with our listeners. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yes. So my story and experience with aliens is very much so spiritual related, and I do find it interesting listening and hearing people who don't have a spiritual tie, because it's so spiritually tied for me. It started when I had a spiritual awakening, starting with the pandemic and realizing toxic patterns and within my relationship and myself, and wanting to start a journey of healing. And I lost my dog, and I think it was just one of these traumatic experiences that is kind of a catalyst for healing and change and wanting to reconnect back in with yourself. So I found myself a therapist and began my healing journey. And once I got to a certain point of working on myself and my needs and face my demons, I finally started to trust the universe and had a lot less anxiety and depression. So at some point, once I was in this place of trust, I started seeing synchronicities. I'm a musician, and I would go to the grocery store, and you know, I decided, you know, this is part of my life. I need to do this. And so I would go to the grocery store, and the guy helping me was a producer and like gave me his card. Just like all these little things where these little random synchronicities of people I meet happen to be interested in the same thing as me. And he was releasing his single that day, and it was a strawberry full moon. And of course, I was starting down this path of spirituality and the universe and love the moon. So it was just all these little synchronicities that truly in the moment do not feel little. It's very much so. It feels like a very direct communication or signal or sign. So following these synchronicities, my therapist asked me if I would want to participate in a QHHT session, which is a quantum hypnosis healing therapy, which I did not know that she offered, but I was all on board. And, you know, she saw that I was in a place to be able to have this session of wanting to heal and trusting what information would come to me. So she leads the session, kind of guiding you through getting into this hypnotic state. And at some point, she has you turn around and you're going to see a person, a being. You know, I, going into it, was kind of anticipating seeing one of like my grandfathers who have passed away. And when I turned around, I saw, and again, I'm turning around in my mind, in my mind's eye under hypnosis, not literally. But once I turned around, I saw this mantis being, and mantis, the word just came to my head. I hadn't heard of this before. I hadn't heard stories of, I've always been a lover of different things, magical things, hoping of more than just what's here on this earth. But I hadn't heard of mantid beings, just like a classic little gray alien or little green alien depiction was all I knew. So this being was brown skinned, and it was around 9 feet tall, and it had a tall collar, and it spoke to me through telepathy. And it was what I felt the most, and I will get emotional to this day thinking about it, was this intense feeling of love and being so proud of me for being where I was at in life, and just being so, like, it was this feeling of unconditional love that I've never felt on the human plane. It was fully supportive of me. And again, it's not even like I was getting this, it's just a feeling that it was giving me, just like so unconditional love, exactly what people talk about God being like. And it was just communicating to me, kind of, you know, you go into it kind of looking for answers. And the experience I had was kind of that it was telling me I already knew what I needed to do and to stay grounded. And yeah, so it was a pretty intense experience. And then after that, I kind of deep dived into wanting to research this kind of thing. You know, had other people seen this? And they had, and they describe it the same way, with like a robe with a tall collar. And because you think for a moment, maybe you're making it up, or that it's just some part of what you've seen or something. But then when you hear other people describe it the same way, and it's this thing, and it showed itself to me exactly how other people have seen it, there's not much room for debate. So after this, it was just more synchronicities. And I had done, it was such a beautiful experience. I started doing meditating and other forms of healing. And also another message that was in the, that Mantis was communicating to me, was nature and earth being very important. The place that I was in was very green and brown, and kind of how important nature is. I wanted to see Mantis again. You know, you kind of get in a place where it becomes kind of obsessive because it's such a wild experience. You want to learn more and study more and find answers. And I think a big part of life is never having the answers fully. But I started meditating and I actually found this golden mantis transmission online that someone did about meeting these beings. And again, still my mind is being blown that this exists. And somehow in my subconscious, in my mind, I could come across that and it already exists. It's just absolutely mind blowing. But I started doing this meditation by myself and I did see mantis again. And again, it was just this feeling of this time, like I was just meditating by myself. I wasn't under hypnosis. So again, there was this feeling of being so proud of me, so loving, so supportive. And it was really proud of me that I had communicated with it on my own was the, again, it's just like a feeling and knowing that you get super loving and touching. We were touching foreheads. So I also like within research, listening to your podcast, hearing other people's experiences of it, of kind of the stories are like, it's not something they signed up for to experience something like this. And it's quite traumatic and can be scary and stuff like this, which the unknown is scary. But I did just find it interesting how differently people can experience aliens and other beings, because I was in a state of not a lot of fear, which I think is why my therapist offered the session, because she knew I was in that place. And I would say it's definitely something that changed my life. I've taken metaphysics classes and really delved deep into this. And you do have to, like Mantis told me, stay grounded. And it's really wild because when I've told this story, or because I'm very open about what I've been through, and I'll tell anybody, because it, as wild as it is telling somebody, it might sound like the craziest thing they've ever heard. And for me, it was one of the most real things I've ever experienced. It was so real. So since then, I have started my own podcast. I am an artist. I paint and I sing and write music. And I'm a very colorful, colorful, colorful person. So when I heard your episode about a mantis being and someone describing it the same exact way, this person was also very into art, just artists and color. And I thought, you know, again, I just am thinking about this tie with mantid beings specifically, at least, because I know there's many different kinds of aliens and worlds out there, but very much so like enabled me to step into my full colorful self and helping me know, be who I am more fearlessly and sharing the gifts that I have. And I started performing my music, which is something that I put off for a lot in my life due to fear. I think there's a big tie to the feeling of fear versus trust, just the different ways you go about life and view the world based off of which state of mind you're in, fear or trust. And whenever I'm in this trust mode is when these synchronicity happens. So when I did that meditation where I saw Mantis again on my own, I got really into oracle cards as well, and tarot and all the witchy things, spiritual things. And before I did that meditation, I pulled a card that said, connect to your guide. So the intention for that meditation was to get some sort of message from my guides. And the meditation was about 45 minutes. The minute I ended the meditation and started wiggling back into my body, I got a message from someone asking me if I wanted to perform in a show, which was my first time performing for a long, long time. So it's one of these things I can tell when I'm in this trust mode and the world really vibrates back to you what you need. And part of me thinks about, you know, how much validation do you need in order to know what you're here to do in this world? So that was definitely, you know, it's like something that's in the back of your mind. Like Mantis said, like, you know what you're supposed to do, but sometimes we're scared to follow our dreams or because of the programming of the world, the fear. And so for me, it was really, really huge. And just to get that message the minute I was done with the meditation was, again, just one of these mind-blowing moments. It's really an overwhelming feeling of validation. It's just like a knowing. It's just a knowing. So that was a clear communication to me. So since then, I've really started doing music more and following that and chasing it. And I've had people, you know, with my music style, it's very self-reflective and healing for me and what I hope to give to other people. And I've had people come up to me and tell me that my music makes them think about their own behavior. And it's just this culmination of feeling like that's my purpose. And I think service to others and, you know, healing the self and are just all components that make for a fulfilling life. And yeah, it was just one of these moments where it felt like the universe was trying to communicate to me what I needed to do, what I was longing for, what I was wondering what was missing from my life. And there really isn't any doubts about that. Even though sometimes I doubt myself, but I don't doubt the message from the universe. And there was also a couple other instances since then where I will talk to the sky at night. I love looking at the stars and stargazing and in general in my life, but it's definitely escalated since the Mantis experience. There was one night that I was out there and it was after just a particularly rough few days emotionally, mentally. And so I was just asking the sky, you know, why is it so hard to be a human sometimes? And I was super emotional and I just asked for a sign. I asked if I could see something, not just a sign. Like I wanted to see something in the sky. And I specifically asked for that just to kind of, you know, why do I need more validation at this point? I guess that's the humanness, but I'm like, maybe one more time just to make sure I'm not crazy. And I saw right above my home this blue propulsion of light. I didn't see a craft or anything. It just was this blue white light that was just, you know, it wasn't like up in the sky. It was quite low above my home where I was looking. And I immediately launched my hand onto my mouth, gasping, oh my goodness, I actually just saw something after I asked. And again, just one of those moments where you start to, through your own experience, realize why people say, I can't explain it, but I know I saw something. I know it was a real situation for me. You know, I will say too, like your first thought when you have these experiences is not to grab a camera. For me, I just wanted to, I did want, oh my goodness, who can I share this with? Who can I tell? Who has seen this? A lot of things run through your mind, but I mean, I just was gasping and staring at the same spot, kind of humanly trying to process what I had just seen because it can't be explained in a normal, average way. That being said, I'm no expert in astronomy, but I do watch the sky a lot. I do see satellites. I do see, you know, the pattern of satellites and how they move. And I'm quite familiar with what could be a satellite. I love tracking the ISS. This was nothing I'd seen before. I've seen shooting stars or meteors after asking or having a emotional moment. I just look to the sky and then you see something and it kind of just feels like it's just for you. It's just like a reassuring little kiss from the universe, God, whatever you believe, to just say it's okay, got this, is really what it feels like. And when you are vibrating or in this place of trust, I would say you can just feel the connection, I suppose. It's not, and when I'm not in this place of trust or belief or having doubts, you know, I feel like I don't have these experiences or I don't notice them. I'm not aware of them because I'm not in a state of mind of trusting. And then one other experience that I had besides the blue beam. I think you had someone recently, or maybe it was a replay where someone talked about a blue light and I can't remember what word they used, but I was like, oh yeah, that's a great way to explain it. And then the only other time I was looking out at the sky and it was a few days after seeing the blue light because I was kind of really geeked on that and super, oh my goodness, this is awesome. Like, I can't believe that happened. So I was getting greedy and I was, can I see something tonight? I will really be out loud talking to this guy. And I saw what looked like little stars going into another star, Altus, I think it was. I zoomed in on it and looked up what one it was. But, you know, it wasn't satellite level. It was further out in space than that, much more tiny. And it was zoom. One was flying into a star and then one a few, you know, not a few feet, probably a few hundred feet above, went into the star. And then there was one trailing and then two. And that, it was very random amounts of what looked like really far away ships going into a planet or a star, not really like a chain, like Starlink or a syncopated thing or an organized one type of speed, like a satellite. It was far away and there was about five or six at random paces and times flying into this star. So after that, I knew what I experienced was real. And it's almost like you can tell when you're in a place to be able to see these things versus not. It has been a wild year. That all happened this year for me. So for me, it was super in sync with healing emotions and mentality and spirituality. Totally, totally related for me.
That's wonderful. You know, it seems that your spiritual path came about due to having, you know, these problems in your life. You had this trauma. And in all respects, you know, our lives are set in a certain direction. And I think, you know, we go through these things to, you know, to obviously learn from it and grow.
100%. I go about it saying 2020, 2021 were some of the worst years of my life. And this year was one of the best years of my life. And I wouldn't change a thing. And it 100% was something to, I had to experience the trauma I went through to be able to grow and continue my journey. 100%.
You know, you go through these situations and these times, and that is all, you know, that's all part of growing. But, you know, they do make you stronger.
Absolutely.
But they are tough. But, you know, people have to go through these. I'd be surprised if you find anyone that have never had any problems, have had a completely smooth ride. Just about everyone has had something going on. And we just got to kind of learn from this.
Yes, absolutely.
And do you hope to connect with Mantis again?
Yes, I feel like it was a lot to take in. And I have been thinking recently, I do want to sign up for another QHHT session, or I've even thought about signing up to be a practitioner to be able to do this for others, because it's so validating and healing. And I think having a element of believing that there's more than this life is important to enjoy this life. In order to enjoy.
Absolutely. Come down this path, which is, you know, which is giving you an interest in the subject. Did you have a particular interest in it all beforehand?
I would say I always loved magical things, like Alice in Wonderland was my favorite movie growing up. I will say I started in 2020, like as the peak of my spiritual evolution was happening, I did start listening to the Bigfoot podcasts and, you know, got into that. I'd seen UFO like documentaries, but nothing like I'm interested now, kind of just the average, like, oh, this would be cool. Now, sense, it's just not something that's cool. It's something that's real for me. And even since, like, sharing this experience with my mom, who doesn't talk about that kind of stuff at all. She's like, yeah, I saw a UFO when I was younger. I'm like, what? Excuse me? How could you not share this? So I do think it's really interesting and grateful for people like you, because when you share these experiences, it's just so validating for other people. My mom probably never felt comfortable sharing that.
You know, they're out there. There's plenty of people which have experienced, but, you know, they haven't shared and they haven't told family members. People are turning around a bit, having discussions, and more, I think more people are actually coming into the subject now with a proper interest.
Yes. And, you know, I'd heard some people say like they'd seen a UFO before, but it's almost going through the traumatic experiences as well. It's kind of something you have to experience for yourself. It just doesn't carry that much weight when you hear it if you haven't had your own experience. So you can only accept it so far. And so that's probably why my mom felt comfortable sharing, because I'd had my own experience. And you know, it's just knowing my mom, it totally blew my mind that she had seen this and never said anything.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is difficult to share things with people if they can't connect with you, you know, because people won't understand. Mm-hmm. And when did you get into podcasting? You've got a show called The Outer Space with Aunt Comet.
I do. So it kind of went hand in hand with the Mantis experience. I haven't delved into aliens yet on the podcast, but that is the plan. I'm starting it kind of with sharing healing tools and tips for people to come back to themselves in a world that encourages us to be anything but ourselves and not share these experiences and not follow the call our soul is telling us to do. So yeah, the podcast is a lot about healing and self-discovery.
A spiritual safe place with discussions to help you connect with your true essence.
Yes, that is it.
Wonderful. And it's available on all podcast apps. So any listeners out there that are interested in healing, you know, go pop a Juliana visit. That's The Outer Space with Aunt Comet.
Yes, would love to hear and share.
Is that a nickname, Aunt Comet?
You know, it is a persona that came through again with this Mantis experience. I felt who I really was coming in to this reality like a comet from outer space. And it also feels, so it's my musician name as well, but it feels like a way to, everybody needs an auntie to help them out through life. And I feel like that's what I can offer.
Wonderful. Yeah, I agree. That's great. What I'll do is for listeners, I'll put all the links below and on the website.
Lovely. I appreciate that.
No problem. Do you have guests on?
I am just starting to take guests.
Right. Okay.
Something I want to be able to discuss these topics. And because that is where all those synchronicities come out again. You know, I have gotten feedback from people just saying, I even like, the synchronistic stuff is so magical and I absolutely love it. And it's so real. Like I've had someone say, I was just listening to your podcast and you said how you, through this healing journey, have been able to be your colorful alien self. And this person who was listening was also very colorful, but he said that he had downplayed it and kind of just like doesn't put that much effort into it sometimes because what's the point? And as I was saying, be yourself, be your colorful self. Someone walked into his work in the background, was like, hey, Mr. Colorful. And just like those little synchronicities and also just the fact that other people see it as synchronistic and share it with me. It's so beautiful.
And that is what life is. Life is full of these synchronicities. And mm-hmm. especially when you get involved in this stuff, you know, whether it's voluntary or involuntary, these things do happen. Mm-hmm. I don't really believe in coincidence too much. But these, you know, these things do happen. And I always call it the paranormal bubble. You know, when you get deep into this stuff, strange things do happen. Mm-hmm. You have some really strange meetings with people, which you generally wouldn't have had. Mm-hmm. It's unusual.
It feels like for me, it's like the universe reflects back what you, where you're at, what you need, what your soul desires or needs to hear.
You can stay on a particular path, but you have to be aware that, you know, there is a darker side to life. There's stuff out there which is dangerous and it's very easy to get involved with. You know, I have done in the past, but it's part and parcel with this subject.
Yes. And that has been like knowing I do like to be part of healing others, whether it's through art or music or podcast, that again, finding the balance and making sure you take time for yourself, because as somebody like I will definitely absorb those energies as we do as humans. So yeah, a good reminder to, that's why you got to do your self-care cooking or your meditation, and you got your weekends you got to do for yourself, because it's super easy to be affected by that.
Yeah, absolutely. No matter how hard your life has been or the things that have happened in your life, you've already, you know, you've chosen this already when, you know, mm-hmm. before you came into this body, you made a decision that this was the life that you wanted to do. So you can learn from it. A bit like a library, you know, you go into a library. If you just read the easy books, you know, they're easy books. You're not learning techniques. You're not getting much from it. But if you read a difficult book, you know, you're learning. So, you know, you're getting so much more from it. And that's the way I look at it. You know, tough life, hard book, easy life, easy book. So I think we have to take, you know, sometimes hard, sometimes easy. So whatever does happen in your life, you've already chose this. You know, and it's all part of the growth.
And it's so freeing to think of it that way. I feel like in the other, kind of in a victim mindset where things are happening to you instead of, like you said, choosing it and choosing to learn from it and grow from it and just the awareness that you needed that experience.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get into that victim mentality. And then before you know it, then everything is on top of you. You know, everything is grounding you down. It will eventually put you in a place where it's sometimes impossible to get out of. So there's always someone else that has it worse. Their life can be, you know, a lot worse than yours. That's why I look at it. So,
and a lot of the times, I believe it's, I can't remember who says it, a philosopher of sorts that says, you know, a lot of our suffering is in our mind. So not only do other people have more suffering, but a lot of the times we're not actually suffering as much as we think we are, or we contribute to our own.
You're projecting it, you're perpetuating the problem, when actually it could be quite a simple solution. No problem. Julianne, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you. I'm grateful to share, and thank you for having me.
Okay, wonderful. It was great speaking to you, right? Take care, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Have a great rest of your week.
And you indeed. Take care yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, and more.
The handler one day told her this whole thing about how they've been terraforming on Mars and they're building a colony and they're recruiting specific people of specific bloodlines and specific talents and skill sets to go onto the planet.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Pat. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us today. And you're calling from New York.
I am in New York. Yep. Snowy New York.
Snowy New York. Wonderful. Now, Pat, you have some experiences to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Sure. So I think actually, if it's all right, I'll start with my most recent one, because it sort of sparked the memory of, or not necessarily sparked it, but kind of brought to the forefront of the memory of one that I, of an experience I had as a child. So last year, in December, I also would like to start off by saying that it's really hard for me to like believe in most paranormal things. I don't really, I'm pretty skeptical about a lot of stuff. And while I do have a big interest in UFOs, I don't feel like it's likely that I would experience something. So just that being said, I just wanted to kind of put that out there. Last December, I started having this issue where I would wake up every night at the same time between 3:00 and 3:15 a.m. And I would just feel like there was something in the room with me or someone very specifically like staring at me from the darkness, right? And there's like enough ambient light in my room from, you know, the moon comes in right through my window. And so it's not like complete darkness. I can see kind of my door from my bed. But so I keep waking up and feeling like there's something in my room staring at me. And I'm pretty familiar with like sleep paralysis and the shadow man and things of that nature, but there's never a time where I woke up and felt like I couldn't move or that there was any kind of pressure or like any kind of weight on top of me or anything like that. It was always purely just there was something in the room staring at me. And now this started happening and didn't stop happening. It was just it every single night. And I didn't talk about it. I didn't tell anybody about it. I kind of was just like dealing with it. And then maybe two or three weeks into this experience, I had a friend ask me they know that I don't really believe in like mediums and, you know, psychics and stuff like that. It's very difficult for me to subscribe to that sort of thing. But she mentioned that like she had gone to see a medium and that the medium started asking very pointed questions about a friend, and the answers could kind of the question she was asking could kind of only be about me. Like I was the only person in her life that fit the answers for the questions, I suppose. And the medium told her that my third eye had been forced open and that I had attracted the attention of something that was going to hang around me for months and then stop. So she tells me this and I kind of like laughed it off because that just does not sound like anything that I would ever be willing to believe, but it keeps happening. It keeps happening. I keep waking up at 3 o'clock and feeling like there's something in my room staring at me. I even had, this is when it started to kind of like become a little bit more real. I had a friend sleep here and they woke up in the middle at 3 o'clock and I hadn't told anybody about this. The only person that knew at this point was my friend who had mentioned the medium to me. So I had somebody sleep here and they woke up at 3 and the next day said that they felt like there was somebody in the room staring at them. And so that kind of like made it feel way more real. That was last year, actually almost right around this time. Yeah, we're in January. So it would have been right around this time, towards the end of January, I think. And so this goes on for months until maybe like the beginning of the summer. And then it sort of just started to really stress me out that it was still happening. And I don't know. I didn't really like talk about it with anybody because it just felt like I was being, I don't know, paranoid or dramatic or something. And so one night I was, it all kind of came to a head where one night I was going to sleep and I'm trying to think of like how to explain this. So I'm laying down and I have like a very particular routine when I go to sleep. I lay down on my left side and I have my laptop in my face and I'm usually watching something on YouTube. And when it's time for me to like, when my eyelids are getting heavy and it's time for me to go to sleep, I put on some sort of white noise like snow or thunderstorm or waves. And they're all 10-hour videos. And so I put that on and then I turn onto my right side and face away from my laptop and fall asleep, right? So I do that. I put on like waves or thunderstorms or whatever. And I turn onto my right side and I'm falling asleep. And just as I'm about to like hit sleep, right when I'm about to transition into sleep and you're kind of like in that little half awake, half asleep place, an alarm goes off in my brain and it's like, the white noise stopped. There's no more sound. My laptop's plugged in. It's a 10-hour video. There's no reason it should have stopped. And I turn around and my laptop is closed. And that freaked me out. I sat up and I had like the hair on my neck was like all the way up. And I it's kind of comical now that I think about it, but I kind of just yelled into the darkness. I was like, are you kidding me? And then that was it. That was the last time I had that experience where I woke up at 3 a.m. and felt like something was, that was the last time anything weird in attributed to this had happened. And I would wake up at 3 a.m. a couple of times after that, but never felt like there was anything in the room with me. So I didn't experience anything for months. And then a few months ago, maybe like two or three now, probably about 2 months ago, I had an experience that I that I think is connected to this. It was the same sort of thing where I woke up at 3 a.m. and this makes me feel a little bit like nutty to say, but I don't know it. I kind of don't know what to do with it because I don't, in a lot of ways, I don't feel like I was like taken, but I had this overwhelming feeling that I was not in my room. Although I was in my bed, it felt like a replica of my, like a recreation of my room. And actually before the podcast, we were just chatting about how I love cats. My cat, my ears are very like acutely attuned to his movements. When he's in the room, he snores. He's actually pretty loud. If he's moving around late at night, like I can hear, he's a big boy, so I can hear him padding around. And it just like there, it was just complete silence, which is not usual for him. I don't know. It just didn't feel like I was in my room, and I was freaking out. And my heart was like going. I had like adrenaline was going, and I must have been laying under with my hand kind of like over my face and the covers like over my head, probably for like an hour and a half or 2 hours. And it just felt really, really intense. And when I finally, and I kept telling myself that I was just being ridiculous. This isn't happening. This is like not real. You're just psyching yourself out. And when I went to take the blanket down from my face, how childish, but when I went to take the blanket down from my face, there's a crack in my door, and it felt like I saw a face in the door that kind of would fit your typical grays, right? Like big eyes, gray skin. And that sent me into a spiral, and I put the blanket back up and like continued to freak out for another like probably hour. So all that being said, it's really hard for me to believe that something extraterrestrial necessarily happened to me, or not extraterrestrial, but like something with aliens or any kind of abduction actually happened, because I like, why would it happen to me? I don't feel like, although I guess like in most cases, it's not always, there doesn't really seem to be an answer to that question, but it seemed too convenient, I guess, because of my interest. So I kept telling myself that I was just being ridiculous. I was being ridiculous. That was sort of the end of that. I haven't had anything happen weird. I haven't even really been waking up at that time since that happened. But what did happen like right around that time, so another experience that happened was I went hiking in November, and in the Hudson Valley, there's like a lot of like really like high mountains that have like a great view of the Hudson River, and you can kind of, you get like a lot of sky, right? There's a lot of like really open sky that you can see. And so I was on the mountain, it's called Breakneck Mountain, and I was laying down. It was in November. It's totally clear sky, literally no clouds. And I was laying there, and what looked like a white orb appeared, zipped across like the sky, my vision, and disappeared above, not even behind, like above a mountain that was like kind of like right next to where I was. And I sat there kind of stunned for 15 minutes trying to figure out what that could have been. Like, there's no way that I just in broad daylight saw some sort of UFO. Like, that had to have been, you know, something like in my, when you see like spots in your eyes or something, it had to have been something like that. Or like, maybe I just was seeing a bird that was flying away from me or something. I don't know. I was trying anything to justify seeing that as like not a UFO. I don't know. I just don't feel like I would experience that would happen to me. So it was very quick, and it didn't last, and it just kind of happened. It came and it went, and it left me sort of like, I can't think of anything that could have been in that moment, in that area. There's no sound. There's nothing. It just zipped. It appeared. It zipped and then it disappeared. And that was it. It kind of blew my mind. And so that happening and then the what I was experiencing last year sort of reawakened this memory that I had from my childhood that, again, this is something that I sort of don't know what to do with because I do feel like, you know, memory can be kind of unreliable. And especially when you're a kid, you know, and I was particularly imaginative as a child. So I don't know. I was playing on the edge of my bed with like my action figures or something, right? I was like 6 or 7 or something like that. I was playing with my action figures on the edge of my bed and I like dropped one off the foot of my bed and the foot of my bed faced the window. And I like leaned over to grab it off the edge. And as I was leaning down, I looked out the window and there was an orb, a glowing orb about the size of a softball that moved past my window. And I got up and I walked over to the window and like looked out and there was nothing there. It was just, it moved past my window and that was it. I really only caught like a quick glimpse of it, but I never like, I would always like think about it, but never really like kind of think on it a lot. I don't know. It would come up in my head and I'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that happened, but I never really like gave much thought to it until the last few years when I got really into like UFOs and then this experience in the last year happened. And when I started listening to your podcast more and hearing other people's stories about the way that they described seeing UFOs, the light that they emit, it really makes me feel like that's what I saw, this light that sort of like almost changes and it's more ambient than hard light. And yeah, so that, I mean, that's kind of it. All three of them, I don't really know what to do with. And I'm very reticent to say it was definitely this thing. Like, I don't know what it was. I don't know what any of them were. And they all three, particularly the two recent ones, have sort of left feeling a little, kind of left me feeling shaken. But the one from my childhood, softball sized orb, the more I thought about it, the more it kind of reformed in my head. It just felt kind of coincidental and interesting. So yeah, that's it. That's my stories.
Good job, Patrick.
I'm a talker.
No problem. Now this orb, how big would you have said that this orb was?
Yeah, it was like the size of like a softball. So it was like a little bit bigger than a baseball. It like moved past my window. It didn't like zip past like super fast. It moved at a speed that was definitely slower than something that would be falling. Like, it didn't look like it was necessarily like floating, quote unquote, like a feather would, but it definitely wasn't falling like an actual ball would. It looked like it was moving at an intended speed, if I describe it. And the light that it was giving off was a greenish, like whitish, yellowish, changing sort of. Difficult for me to like put words on it, but that's how, if I could, that would be kind of like the best way that I could do it.
And was it directly outside of your window?
Yeah, it was like right outside my window. Like if I was standing there and had stuck my hand out, I probably could have grabbed it.
Okay. Was the window, was your room elevated? Was it just a single story?
Yeah, it's on the second story.
Okay. There was definitely wasn't car headlights being reflected or anything like that.
No. And actually the house is set quite far back from the road and on a sort of like a big hill. It's a private road, so not many people come up. And the headlights from cars would have been blocked by many trees and some pretty thick bushes.
Plus, you wouldn't be on here if it was just headlights.
If I did think it was just headlights, I probably would have kept that one to myself.
Exactly. We all know what headlights look like. Wonderful. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Wonder what that was. And as a kid in that house, you hadn't experienced anything strange before?
No. My older sister used to say stuff like that the house was haunted and stuff, but she would kind of just say stuff like that to like mess with me and my younger sister. It's not anything real.
Yeah, siblings do that.
They do.
Try and put the frighteners at you.
Right.
Wonderful. Okay. Now, when you're being stared at in your room, been in that place a long time, you know, when you're waking up at 3 a.m.,
yes, I've been here for quite a long time.
You'd wake up and it was over consecutive nights.
Yes. Yeah. It was like every night from when it started, it was every night for months. And because I was like waking up and having my sleep interrupted in that way, I've always kind of had bad sleep, but not like that, where I was like, when I say I wake up, like my eyes snapped open and I was awake. I was wide awake instantly every time. And because my sleep was being interrupted like that and I wasn't really get proper rest, I started thinking that like it was happening because I wasn't getting sleep, and it was like a cycle where I was trying anything to justify this as being my own kind of just weird brain doing something weird. But when other people started saying weird things, that's when it became like more real. And then when the laptop closed, that was just, I couldn't, there's nothing I could have, there's no explanation for how that would have happened that I can come up with.
And prior to these months of this happening, was there anything previous to that?
No, there's nothing previous to that. Like I said, you know, I've always had bad sleep, but not anything like that. And never any kind of like sleep paralysis or night terrors or nothing like that. No hat man, no shadow people. No experiences with any of that stuff. I guess one time when I was like, I had one of my best friends pass away when I was younger, and I had like a really realistic dream where I felt like I was awake and he was sitting on my bed. But that's like the closest, I mean, that happened years ago. And I would attribute that more to just like me missing my friend very much and not any kind of supernatural anything.
Of course, yeah, of course. I know you're a little bit skeptical of the paranormal and that, but it could just been that maybe you just picked something up along the way, something, you know, something clung on to you and just stuck with you for a few months.
That does, and now that I've kind of been a little bit more vocal about it with some of my friends and stuff like that in the last recent months after everything has happened, that seems to be like a couple of my friends who, I do have a couple of friends who are very into spirituality and spirits and energy and things of that nature. And that seems to be the prevailing feeling unanimously amongst them, is that that whatever the medium had, the medium said was actually the case, and that I somehow attracted an energy or a being or a spirit of some sort, and that they kind of clung on.
And moved in for a few months.
Moved in for a few months, yeah, and was particularly interested in waking me up at weird hours.
I mean, you didn't get any, I mean, other than the feeling of being watched, you couldn't smell any smells or anything like that.
Interesting. I don't think so. And also, I never felt once that there was any malintent. I never felt malicious. I was never afraid for my safety. Any kind of like feelings of fear that I experienced were purely that I was experiencing something like outside of my frame of reference. Like I was experiencing something that I knew was not normal and was weird, and that's where any feelings of fear came from. But I don't think I smelled anything. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, so you weren't getting any bad feelings. You were just aware that you were being watched.
Yeah, and it just felt very, I think the fear came from the sort of confusion, right? Like, why is this happening right now? What is this?
I mean, I've got, sometimes I'll be working to the very small hours, and I've got headphones on, especially when I'm editing all the audio. And just now and again, I'll get a feeling like I am being watched. Now, it's not my cat. My cat's usually asleep in my inbox, just on the shelf for my wife being in bed. And I'd have a feeling like I'm being watched. And I've got those sensors on my land in the hallway where you just walk under it and the light comes on.
Right.
Those energy savers. And I'd have this feeling, and I'd turn around and one of the sensors would come on in the hallway outside of the studio.
No.
So not just I have the feeling, but I have the light gets activated as well. So that's strange.
Oh my God.
But then again, you know, I mean, you've got headphones on, you can't hear what's happening around you. And, you know, the light could be malfunctioning, but, you know, I'm not so sure sometimes.
I would shit a brick if that happened while I was awake. And I saw something that like give me actual feedback that yes, there's something there, and you know my wife's asleep. I'd freak out.
I must admit, we get in bed sometimes, and the light will come on the hallway, and I'll think it's the cat, and then I'll see the cat's at the
Oh my God.
By my legs. So,
oh my God. Shit.
Wonderful. Okay. And yeah, so it basically it came, it stuck with you for a while, and it left again.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think the slamming of the laptop was, you know, get some rest, turn off these movies.
Yeah. That was the kind of last straw. Had felt like I had, my sleep had been disturbed for so long. And it just, I was like frustrated at that point even. It scared the shit out of me, but I was also kind of just like frustrated. What is this? What is happening? Why is this happening? And I just yelled, you know, are you kidding me? And that was it. That was it. It stopped, you know, up until that kind of thing that happened a couple of months ago. There's been no interruptions in my sleep in that way. No feelings of being watched. None of that.
The face in the doorway. Now, was it like through the crack of the door?
Yeah. Yep. It was open just enough for me to like see out into the hallway. And there, you know, I mean, it was at the exact height that I would imagine a face to be. I really tried to convince myself that I was just being, that I was just making that up, that my brain was really just like kind of torturing itself or whatever, because I like I said, it felt too convenient, because I do consume quite a bit of UFO abduction information. Even though it felt very real, I was like trying to tell myself, dude, you are just bugging out right now, you're just having a little freak out, and you know, you like, you watch too many movies, you read too many comics or whatever. But it felt so real. It felt so real. And when I saw the face, my heart jumped out of my throat. That is definitely there. That's just how it felt. You know, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with it. I really don't know.
And you think it was connected with maybe what was watching you?
When I was like laying in bed, kept thinking that. And really, I think the only reason I felt that way, or still do, I guess, is just because both experiences felt very, I don't want to say voyeuristic, because that's not the right word, but it just felt like I was being like watched. When I woke up that night and like saw the face that night in particular, I felt I was being observed in like a zoo or something. That's how I would describe it, which sounds so ridiculous when I say it out loud, but that's really how it felt. I felt like I was in an exhibit being looked at.
And did it feel intrusive?
I don't know if I would use the word intrusive. It felt like a bad recreation of my room. Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe intrusive is the word.
So it felt like you're possibly in a different place, but the images that around you, it was like masquerading as your room.
Yes. And it, you know, it was dark, so I couldn't see every detail. When I first woke up, looked around and had this feeling, it felt like everything was like out of place, shifted by like an inch, you know, like everything was just not where it was supposed to be or something, like something was off. And I immediately felt, this isn't my room. This is not my room. Like, it looks like my room, but this isn't it.
But everything was there, like cupboards and nothing missing.
Yeah. Except for Boris, except for my cat. Boris was not there. He almost always sleeps in my room, especially when it gets colder. He either sleeps on the head of my bed or in his bed. Regardless of where he sleeps, he almost always snores. Like, I know when he's in the room, and he wasn't in the room, which was, that in and of itself is just kind of weird.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we were talking about our cats at the beginning, and cats are like shadows. My Alaska never leaves my side.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he wasn't in the room at the time.
He wasn't in the room. Yeah.
I actually think there was a Twilight Zone episode. I think it was called Human Zoo. And I think it was a family, and they were being observed. I can't remember whether it was animals that were observing them or it was aliens. I can't remember, but Human Zoo. Yeah. That's what sprung to mind.
I told this also like one of my friends who like also loves movies. And dude, that sounds like the end of 2001 Space Odyssey, where he's being put basically like a human, like a human exhibit at the end of the movie. And I thought that was kind of funny, but.
That's right. Yeah. It was the monolith, wasn't it? The monolith was the like a widescreen television, I think. I think that's what Kubrick was kind of going with that, wasn't it? It was the monolith was the screen. When people are watching the cinema, that's the monolith. I think there's something to do with that. I'd have to rewatch it, but yeah.
that's always how I took it. It's that, like, he was quite literally being put into, maybe not even necessarily being watched by others besides the monolith, but he was put in like a facsimile of what the monolith thought his a human would want to live. And that's why it changes from old Victorian. It's like just weird stuff scattered around his room. And yeah, I don't know. That's what my friend brought that up. And I thought that was kind of funny because that's how I felt in the moment, was that I was in a zoo.
The idea of us being watched and observed, don't like it too much. I mean, I think that's probably why I do audio and not video.
Yeah, it's super terrifying to think that, because I mean, we do it to animals, we do it to insects, you know, we take them out of their home and we don't think of them as being intelligent really. And we're just like, oh, we can just do this if we want. It's no big deal. They won't know the difference. And it's kind of terrifying to think that there is an intelligence that so far supersedes our own that they would think of us the same way that we think of insects or, you know, a giraffe. Well, we're just going to take it and stick it in this cage. It won't know the difference. It won't really matter to them. They don't know. Kind of crazy to think that that's a possibility. But I mean, I guess that it is.
I mean, I don't particularly like the idea of zoos. Rescues, that's different, you know, where animals are taken from a bad environment and then looked after. But yes, yeah, I don't, sure. I've never liked zoos.
They're pretty terrible.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't want to be in a human zoo.
Me neither.
That's wonderful, Pat. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate you doing this and kind of giving people like space to talk about their strange experiences. It's really awesome. I have a lot of respect for what you do.
Hey, thank you very much. So it's always good to hear. And so it's all about just, you know, creating a comfortable environment for people to come on and just share stuff, which, you know, probably wouldn't be aired or heard from otherwise.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate your time.
Patrick, I really appreciate you for coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thanks, man.
Anytime, all right? Take care, all right. And I will speak to you soon.
Have a good evening.
You too, Patrick. Take care.
Bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Julianne and Pat for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe. And keep watching the skies. Goodbye.